This morning, my friend Jeff Swaim is here from Convoy of Hope, and I have known Jeff for many, many, many years, and he has become a very personal friend of mine. And you know we don't have a lot of guests around here, but this is one man that has the love of Jesus in his heart, and what he has to say this morning will bless you. I will guarantee that. And if it doesn't bless you, come talk to me later. I'll give you your money back. Can't believe I said that. Jeff Swaim, come on up, buddy. We got a video. I'm sorry I messed up. Okay, now listen. I'm not going to get up after the video, but when Jeff gets up after the video, y'all give him a Lone Star Cowboy Church welcome, okay?
It's difficult to describe the magnitude of the damage brought on by Hurricane Harvey. Thousands of people have lost their homes. Many more are living without power, without water. But thanks to the support of people like you, our Convoy of Hope response team was here in Texas before the storm made landfall. To date, we have distributed over $1 million worth of life-saving food, water, hygiene kits, and other supplies. We have dozens more trucks en route, and we are working with many churches and organizations. Already, tens of thousands of people have been served. Volunteers from area churches and businesses have spent countless hours sorting, packing, and passing out food and water. But in addition, they are dispensing hope. These volunteers have had the opportunity to pray for and encourage people of all ages. Our corporate partners from across the country have donated truckloads of product to be distributed to people in need. Your families, businesses, and churches have given financial resources that enable Convoy of Hope to bring hope to people and families who are suffering. Your gifts have already had a direct impact on the lives of more than 50,000 hurting people. Thank you for your support. Thank you for your compassion and your kindness. You are making a difference in the lives of the people of Texas.
Oh. Hallelujah. Thank you. Wow. Thank you. God bless you. And I will lower taxes. Thank you for caring. And thank you for giving. This is a very generous church. And on behalf of Convoy of Hope and especially Hal Donaldson, I bring greetings to you. And Pastor Randy and Pastor Darla, we love you guys. Don't you?
Yes.
Yeah, special people. I get to mess up your church today. All those nice things you said about me, here it comes. Thank you for partnering with Convoy. You folks moved from the donor category to the owner category a long time ago with Convoy. Convoy is not a stranger. We are a partner with you on many fronts. Well, the hurricane, we were in Texas before the winds started blowing for Hurricane Harvey. So far, we have served 216,000 plus people. We have deployed 2,215 volunteers, over 10,000 volunteer hours have been given. 138 semi-truck loads have been distributed. That's in the hands of people, okay? That's about 20 tons per truckload. Pounds distributed, it's amazing. The value of that, those loads distributed, is $2.6 million in gift in kind. That's wholesale value, less than wholesale. That's donated value, okay? And here's the cool part. 56 cities have been served. That's the cool part. And then Hurricane Irma, as of yesterday morning, we're just getting ramped up there. But Texas, we're not letting off the gas in Texas, okay? We're going to be here for a long time. Well, after the cameras are gone, Convoy of Hope will be here, okay? Got it? Hurricane Katrina, we started in August of 05, and I think we pulled out 4.5 years later. Okay? Because people have been generous around the country. We can be generous with our time and our efforts, and we're going to need a lot of volunteers for cleaning up and things like that. We're not the only game in town. We're partnering with all kinds of other organizations and ministries because it's amazing what you can get done when you don't have to get the credit. All right, so let's all roll up our sleeves and get some things done. The city served in Irma so far since Wednesday, 29 cities. That's a big deal because there are curfews and sometimes we can't even get into some communities. We finally got a load through to Key West. There are 3 checkpoints on that highway down there. It's a bunch of bridges. I don't know if you've been there, but 3 checkpoints. We had to get governor permission as well as the mayor of Key West had to write a permission thing for the state patrol and whoever else they had on guard there. But there's a curfew in most communities at 7 p.m. So pray for the folks of Florida, too. I know you guys know what's going on. You know what it's like. And Convoy is your partner in this region to work with you and through you. Now, here's the thing. You guys have been so generous with your partnership with Convoy, to the tune of about $300,000 since 2008. That's a lot of coin, right? Yeah. I'll have an exact number for you by tomorrow, okay? I'll have that. But here's the thing. You need to know this. You do not give money to Convoy. You give money through Convoy to meet needs. And so we really guard your trust by doing what we say we're going to do. So much so that the Charity Navigator has given us a 4-star rating, which is the highest rating you can get. But we've received a 4-star rating 14 years in a row. And less than 1% of charities in America can say that. But here's the thing with that. We want to do the right things right. Okay, so we spend a little bit of money on tracking gifts and how we spend money, and we're doing a pretty good job according to the Watchdog Group. But the thing is, we have to live before God. We are living in the favor of God, so that takes integrity. It's where you don't have to defend yourself, God does, right? That's integrity, doing the right things right, and living in purity, that we live pure before the Lord because we do not want his anointing lifted off of this ministry. It is a ministry, not just an organization. We minister in Jesus' name wherever we go. We can't always say we're here in Jesus' name because we go to very, very sensitive areas of the world, all right? And we don't even talk about that. We don't even list those places, but we're there. That's cool. And sometimes we earn the right for a missionary to stay because we've done the humanitarian part. But there's a difference between humanitarian organizations, they do a great job. And then there's a compassion component of a ministry that is church-based. We're faith-based. What we do is things in Jesus' name, and we share how much Jesus loves people. And we get a response, because when you give a clear demonstration of God's love, you're going to invoke a response when you give a clear presentation of Jesus, right? You ask him about Jesus. Why are you doing this? Well, we'll tell you what. We're just good people. No, that's not it. It's because we're here because God loves you, and we do too. And that invokes a conversation. So way to go, church. You're involved with us. One Day to Feed the World, you guys have done that every year. Some of you give over and above a day's pay. Some of you give a portion of a day's pay. Just say no to zero, and then let God, like you, Pastor said, let God tell you what to do. Right? Yeah, that's right? You guys are all in with us anyway, so don't feel bad if you can't give a whole day's pay. Just do something when you can, all right? Deal? Yeah. Deal. And here's what's going to happen. That one day's pay, what we do is feed kids. 162,000 kids every single day at over 950 program centers in 11 countries. When I took Pastor Randy to Haiti, we were feeding 11,000 children. The very first trip I took pastors to Haiti, Pastor Randy was on it because I had to have fun. So he's my buddy. He's a cowboy. I grew up in the country in Oregon on a ranch, and we lived so far out of town that we had to drive toward town to hunt, basically. So we were ways out of town. But I'm telling you what, that feeding program has exploded to 11 countries. We were feeding 18,000 kids at that point, June of 2010. Now we've exploded, 162,000 kids. By 2020, we hope to be feeding 200,000 kids. And when we get the logistics and the infrastructure feeding 200,000 kids, we want to go to 1 million kids. Wouldn't that be fun? But we don't feed kids just down at the corner, you know, and just pass out groceries. We don't do it that way. We do it through educational centers. Sometimes it's public schools. A lot of times, the majority of times, it's through a local church that has a school. And it's not just come to church and we're going to give you groceries. No, kids were skipping school so they could fend for themselves to survive. They would go out and beg or work and maybe earn a few cents every day so they could have a meal to survive. We said, we can fix that because we have corporate donors that give us supplies, tons and tons of supplies. In fact, last year, corporations gave us $103 million worth of free food. Yeah, this year will be more. And your gift of one day to feed the world makes that happen. We go get the free stuff, we ship it where it needs to go. That's where you come in. You're the partner in that process. But it takes money. It takes money. So what happens, these kids show up for school, and guess what? They get an education. They got a shot. They got a future. Before, they weren't thinking about their future. They were thinking about, can I make it to tomorrow? Now they have a future, and every day they go to school, they don't just hear Jesus loves them. They get discipled in how to live for Jesus. Can you dream with me what's going to happen in 20 years in these communities and nations when we have a bunch of kids who are serving Jesus that are in leadership, running businesses, and maybe even a country? That's what we're hoping for. You know what? We're feeding these kids, but our dream is not to feed their grandkids. We're gonna break the cycle of poverty in these families. We even train mothers how to run their own business. Melinda and Bill Gates, their foundation, started the lead on this. They said, if you can help the mother, she'll make sure her kids are fed and make sure her kids are educated. We followed their lead, and that's what we're doing in countries around the world. We call it women's empowerment, not Norma Rae stuff, but we're empowering mothers to earn a living to help their own families. And thousands and thousands and thousands of kids are fed because of this program. It's really cool. Not only do these women have their own businesses and jobs, they actually earn a wage and they hire other women and pay them the same as what they make. Isn't that remarkable? Those who have the least share the most. The other thing that I know will interest this group is that we have an agriculture program. 6 years ago, God blessed Convoy with a gentleman who was pastoring in Washington State. He went back to school, got a PhD in soil science. He joined Convoy 6 years ago. We call him Dr. Dirt. And Dr. Dirt has trained thousands and thousands of farmers how to use their soil properly. In fact, he's had such great success and written in journals that other agronomists have joined Convoy of Hope. And so we actually have universities send students to be trained by Dr. Dirt and his team. And in Haiti alone, there is a great chance in the near future that Haiti will begin exporting food. How about that? It's in the very near future. So we ask that you pray, and we just want to thank you for caring and thank you for giving. Appreciate you so much. One day to feed the world goes a long ways. So if you can and when you can, thanks. Appreciate it. And we've already spent your money, by the way. This morning, I want to talk to you about a very special verse in the Bible. The topic I want to talk about is a supreme love for Jesus. not just a Sunday go to meeting love for Jesus, but a supreme love for Jesus, a passionate love for God that absolutely exceeds anything we can imagine in our love for others, even the love we have for those we love the most. And I've got a verse today that I want to share with you that's one of those verses that you'll be reading along in the New Testament and you'll think, that's really harsh, like strong as horseradish. Jesus didn't mean that. Sometimes we run across those verses that we tend to ignore because it's so stern. Well, this particular verse is that one. And I'd like us to read it together. It's found in Luke 14:26. Let's read it together. If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father, mother, his wife and children, his brothers and sisters, yes, even his life, he cannot be my disciple. Even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. You might be thinking, okay, according to that verse, we got to go home. In order to be a disciple, we got to be a grouch. You might be thinking, no problem. We got discipleship going on. No, you have to remember who Jesus is talking to. He's talking to the Jewish people, and they loved each other. He knew that, and they knew he knew that. He was drawing a comparison. I know how much you love your family, but your love for your family is going to be like hate if you're going to be my disciple. In other words, one who will change the dynamic of your culture and your world forever. If you're going to be a Christ follower, see, I believe that the Christian life is more than forgiveness of sins. I believe that. Because I think God wants to work in us and through us. But I'm telling you, there's such a great, great joy when we love Jesus more than anyone else in our life. And I shared this principle with our youth worker staff in Oregon. And there was one youth worker that said, God doesn't expect us to love him more than our family. No way. I said, yes way. And I was in my natural pose, cup of coffee. I said, you know how much I like coffee. Yeah, you're an addict. I gave her that one. I said, I wouldn't use the dirty cup, would I? No, you wouldn't. I'd clean out that cup, right? Okay, let's suppose I have a clean cup. It's all washed out. And then I fill it to the top with coffee and somebody comes along and bumps my arm. What's going to happen? Well, you're going to spill coffee all over yourself, you idiot. Not a lot of respect for the youth guy there. But anyway, I said, that's right. God is the same way with our life. Let's pretend this cup is our heart and our mind. God is not going to come in and take up residence into a dirty life, a dirty cup. But the Bible is so clear that if we confess our sins, our scum, our junk to the Lord, he is faithful and just, and he will forgive us of our sins and purify us, wash us, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So that when he comes in and takes up residence in us, he moves in. And when we're full of Jesus and we get bumped by life's demands, or get into a consternation with those with whom we live, that means a fight. we're full of God, what's gonna happen? We're gonna spill God's love, just like spilling coffee all over yourself. But you know what? How we get there is we have to have a hunger and thirst for more of God. Yes. In the summertime, it gets pretty warm in Texas. Best guess. Okay? So what happens? You get thirsty. When you get a good glass of water or lemonade or whatever, and you get a great glass of water, I want some more, right? It's like showing up at church here. You get a taste of this place, you want some more. Yeah. All right? You get thirsty. Same thing with something real, something authentic with Jesus. I want some more. Are you hungry for more of God? Are you thirsty for more of Jesus? That's a yearning in our hearts that we want more of Jesus. More of Jesus. I got a taste of God. I want some more. The Bible says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. The Bible also talks about, draw near to me, I'll draw near to you. You want to draw closer to God? He will draw close to you. You know what he wants? The kingdom of God to be established, not in governments, but in our heart. That's where the kingdom is. You know what? The most important kingdoms is that this kingdom will be yielded to Jesus. That Jesus will be the leader of our life. And you know what happens? When we get saved, when we get asked Jesus in our heart, he moves in. But it's a journey after that. Jesus becomes the center of our life. I mean, our Savior. But we have to surrender to him, right? And that's lordship. That we set him apart as Lord. We can't make him Lord. He already is. We just need to surrender to that and say, God, I pursue you. I want more and more of you. I want to have a supreme love for you. And the more we desire of God, the more passion we have for Jesus and intimacy with Jesus, what happens? He begins to capture our frustrations, our desires, our passions, that which we defend. He captures our dreams, our desires, the things that have offended us and messed us over in the past, the things we hold as grudges over others. He captures those things. He captures our schedule, our aspirations, our future. He captures our pocketbook, our schedule, everything. And this, all the while, God is capturing our attention and our passion. I'm telling you this, the more passion we have for Jesus, the more compassion we will have for other people. Because when we have the heart of God and we have a supreme love for Jesus, it changes us. We will see people differently. We will not look at people in our humanity, in our own eyes. We'll look at people through the eyes of Jesus. And his eyes are blurred with tears of compassion. First verse I ever remember memorizing, John 11:35, Jesus wept. Let's say it together. We can learn a verse at church. Jesus wept. Done. Verse. The thing is, Jesus wept a lot over humanity. He did. And you know what? People that are in touch with him weep over humanity. Instead of seeing people, well, there's a problem to be solved. With a believer who loves the Lord, it's different. It's, there's a person to be served. Totally different. Totally different mindset. We don't see people through our humanity. And oftentimes in our humanity, we judge people. And the other way, rather than criticizing people or spreading rumors, in our youth ministry in Oregon, it was a motto of catch kids doing things right. It's the lost art of encouragement. It's amazing what can happen in someone's life when you believe in them. Amazing, amazing. The passion we have for people, our God, comes out, oozing out in love. Compassion for people is not sympathy, merely feeling sorry for somebody. Compassion for people is not empathy, merely understanding their problem. Compassion means action. I will take action on this. Jesus was moved with compassion. And so he did something about it. He saw hungry people, and he turned a sack lunch into a smorgasbord. And a lot of folks showed up and ate. And guess what? They were moved by his compassion. And the verse right prior to this verse, in Luke 14:25, it talks about great crowds followed Jesus. Where'd those crowds come from? It was his compassion. Compassion moves people. It moves us to meet the needs, and people are moved by that. That's why Convoy has served 85 million people in 23 years. People are moved by others who move in compassion. People are moved by your generosity, your friends. This community is moved by this church and your heart for God and the people of this community. Message received loud and clear. This community looks to this group of people and as individuals for an example. Trust me, they're watching. They're watching. This great love and supreme love for Jesus. I got 4 minutes to share another part here. This love and supreme love for Jesus not only impacts our relationship with God and how we relate to others, but it will impact the people we live with, the people we love the most. My wife and I, we just celebrated 40 years of marriage last month. To the same person. It was really cool. And, you know, I'm so glad for that state we got married in. They allowed elementary kids. Anyway, yeah. But anyway, people don't believe this, but we've never had a fight. And you're looking at me, liar, liar, pants on fire, run for president, you know, something like that. But we really haven't had a fight. And it's her fault. I live with a very selfless person. We have 2 daughters. They're expensive. When we found out we were going to have grandkids, Kathy said, I'm going to go out and buy diapers. I said, you're not that old yet. I really did say that. I try to outserve Kathy, but I can't. I mean, I take her to the gas can when she's mowing the yard and stuff like that. But raising our 2 daughters, I set the tone of love in the home. That's what the Bible says. Husbands, love your wives. Husbands, love your wives. I always let my girls know that I love their mom so that they would have security and not end up on Oprah someday. My dad was so rotten. Not going to happen. Maybe something else I do, but not that part. We had very simple rules for our kids. Do what I say. No, I never yelled at them. One rule was they couldn't ride with a friend who had their license less than 6 months. But Stephanie broke that rule. The only rule that I knew about that she broke. So she catches a ride home with a neighbor girl, Jessica, who had her license 2.5 months. It's 3 minutes from the high school to our house. But Stephanie's feeling her age. She said, Jessica, can I drive? Sure. And Stephanie has never even driven the lawnmower. In the excitement, she doesn't buckle up, but to turn left down our street, it's a good idea to slow down. But having never driven before, she steps on the gas instead of the brake. She plants Jessica's car into a telephone pole. Stephanie sails over the steering wheel and shatters. I mean, bubbles it out. I mean, just cracks the front windshield. There's a bubble right where her head hit. And I've seen impacts kill people like that. And so they take her in the neighbor's kitchen, EMTs, firemen, ambulance, everybody, police, pastor across the street, the neighborhood converges. I'm coming home from work and people are flagging me down. Yeah, I can't get through, I'll stop, okay. My wife, Kathy, comes walking across the yard, she looks stunned, and I'm thinking, what idiot drove the car up on the road in the yard? And so, hey, who drove the car? Stephanie. Oh. Meanwhile, Stephanie's in the neighbor's kitchen. My dad's here. He's going to kill me. Oh, my. And she's cut on the forehead. She's bleeding pretty bad. So I go into the kitchen. Daddy, Daddy, I'm so sorry. As if I'm going to kill her. And I'm thinking, nah, too many witnesses. I say, Stephanie, I love you. I mean, all the time these kids are growing up. Guess what, guys? What, Dad? I love you. 10 minutes later, guess what? You love us. Now that I'm a grandpa, I have a theory that grandkids are a reward for not killing your own kids. Just a theory. But my kids knew that I loved them. I got Stephanie to the hospital. I said, Steph, I love you. I love you too, Dad. No, I don't think you get it. The rules are there to protect you, not to destroy your life. Yet, that might be a perk later on today. But honey, if I could, I would trade places with you. You would? Yeah. And you got to know this about your old dad. I would give my life for you. Mom and Dad, you'd do that. You better not. The kids are watching. Now, that intense passion, commitment, willing to give your life for those you love the most, think it through and stack it with this verse. There it was. I asked for it the whole time. But if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, his brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. There it is. That same love we have for those we love the most, it's like hate compared to our love for Jesus. That's where Jesus wants us, that we have a supreme love for him. Yes. Now, my wife and daughters know that I'm absolutely crazy about them. It's undeniable, my incredible love for my wife and my daughters. They're still expensive. They're married. The thing is, they know I love Jesus more than I love them. And they're okay with that because they get a better dad out of that, and Kathy gets a better husband out of that. That's the deal. Now, the greatest day in my life will be when my daughters say, "Dad, I love you, but I love Jesus more." Mission accomplished. They will do things or not do things, not because I say so, but because they love Jesus. Yeah. Holiness is not adhering to a club rule or a group of people. Holiness is being set apart, saying, "I'm going to do everything I can to please the Lord." Yes. All right? That's Ephesians 5:10. But here it is. I will do things or not do things because I love Jesus. There it is. A supreme love for Jesus. I will do things not because I go to church. I will do things or not do things because I love Jesus. And frankly, a lot of people are turned off to Christianity because they think it's a bunch of don'ts. Let me tell you, focus on the do's. You won't have time for the don'ts. Okay, let's get real. Many of us in this room have scum in our heart when we walked in today. There's something between us and God. We got to get right. You came to church not to hear another sermon. You just know you need to get right with God. You got to get things fixed so that you can be a vessel. You know what? A lot of times we get blessed by God. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be an object for God's blessing. I want to be an instrument of God's blessing that he moves in me and through me to others. Today is a great day to say, "God, you be the leader of my life and supreme in my life, that all my best love goes to you. Flow in me and through me to those I love and those I need to love, those I need to forgive." With every head up, with every eye open, how many of you are absolutely certain that you have eternal life with Jesus ahead of you because you made a decision to follow Jesus? Raise your hand high. That is a great certainty. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. The thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy, but I have come that you might have life. John 10:10. I tell you what, those of you that could not raise your hand, I respect your honesty. You're not shining me on, not shining yourself on, your neighbor, most importantly, God. But you can be certain before you leave this room. It's like the illustration I said before. If we confess our sins, our scum, we have scum. For all have scummed or sinned and have fallen short of the glory of God. The penalty or the wages of scum is death or hell. But the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. And today, we're going to say a prayer together. And those of you that could not raise your hand to say, "I'm sure I have eternal life," you can be sure before you walk out of here. We're going to pray a prayer together. Every head up, every eye open, because I want you to live this out every day of your life, that you can have life and life more abundant, okay? And I'm going to stare at the carpet because I don't want to look at you anymore, okay? So just messing. Father God, thank you for your abundant love that you have demonstrated through Jesus, that while we were sinners, Jesus died for us. And Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me of all my junk where I've messed your expectations and your best. I've missed the bullseye, and that's sin. I ask you to forgive me of the things I knowingly did wrong and the things I unknowingly did wrong. I ask you to come into my life because I want to live for you. I want to grow in you. I want to go on life's journey with you as the leader of my life. With your help, Jesus, I'm going to live for you. I'm going to read your Bible. And I'm going to serve others. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Those of you who prayed that prayer, you couldn't raise your hand before. Welcome to the family of God. Here's the cool thing. That assurance will grow and grow and grow through the promises of the Bible, of God's word. You will have that assurance. And it's just the beginning. Plant yourself in a church regularly. Get a hold of the way they grow Christians. Because none of us are perfect. We're all on a journey. You know, it's really awesome to be part of a family, people caring for you. And maybe you're going through life alone, or just kind of an island. God doesn't intend for you to do that. You don't have to do that. You can have a lot more fun, a lot of fun, especially with a crazy pastor like this guy. I love this guy. And you're going to have a lot of fun with he and his team and a lot of lovely people here. And I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for loving my friend Randy and his wife Darla. And I thank you for all you do through Convoy of Hope. God bless you.
Sweet. So sweet. Y'all stay on your feet. You're all right. I want to pray for you. We have our prayer team up here. I want to say this. I'm one of them coffee guys myself. So my cup needs to get washed pretty often. That's why we have church. That's why every day we get with God and we have our personal devotions. Because we just, I don't know about you, but the world I live in, I can mess it up. And I need help. I need somebody to keep this vessel pure before him. And if you accepted Christ as your personal Savior, well, you keep your cup clean. Part of it is showing up for church. We can't help you if you don't show up. Showing up is a big part of the battle, isn't it? So just encourage you to come. We'll let you in for free and give you a donut. I don't know how you can find a better deal than that. We pray for you. Bless your church. Bless your people. What an honor it has been this morning, Jesus, to be in your presence. We're so privileged this morning to be able to know you and to know that our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. We rejoice for that, and we give you praise in Jesus' name. And the church said, amen. Amen. God bless y'all. We love you.